bid you welcome for this sixth Lenten Vesper service. Join us this Sunday for Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week. Today, the theme here, Lord, I give myself away, as we continue to look at the Passion of Christ. Order of Vespers, page 229, with the Lenten responses. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
Psalm 143, responsively by Hover.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness answer me, in your righteousness.
Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one thing is righteous before you.
For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead.
Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands.
I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Bring my soul out of trouble.
And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
He stirs up the people by teaching all over Judea, beginning in Galilee and coming here. When Pontius Pilate heard this, he asked, "Is this man from Galilee?" And when he found out that Jesus came from the country ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was glad to see Jesus. For a long time he wanted to see him because he was hearing about him. And he was hoping to see Jesus work a miraculous sign. He asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus did not answer him. The ruling priests and the scribes were standing there and accusing him vehemently. Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. They put a splendid garment on him and sent him back to Pilate. On that day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Then Pilate called the ruling priests, the other leaders, and the people together. He told them, "You brought me this man as one who turns the people against the government, and now I have examined this man before you, and I found him innocent of the things of which you accuse him. Herod did too, because he sent him back to me. You see, he has done nothing deserving death. So I'm going to scourge him and let him go." Now at the festival, the governor used to free one prisoner whom the crowd wanted and requested. And at that time, there was a well-known prisoner by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas had been thrown into prison with the rebels in the revolt and committed murder in the city. And the crowd came and asked Pilate to do for them as he had done before. "You have a custom that I set one person free for you at the Passover," Pilate answered. "Whom do you want me to set free, Barabbas or Jesus, the King of the Jews, who is called the Christ?" For he knew the ruling priests had handed Jesus over to him out of jealousy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent someone to him, "Leave that righteous man alone. I have suffered much in the dream last night on account of him." But the ruling priests and elders stirred up the people so that Pilate would release Barabbas and have Jesus killed. The governor asked, "Which of the two do you want me to set free?" The whole crowd then shouted, "Not this one. Away with him. Free Barabbas." But because Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, he called out to the people, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who was called the Christ, whom you call the King of the Jews?" They kept screaming, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them a third time, "Why? What wrong has he done? I have found nothing in him deserving death. I'm going to teach him a lesson and release him." Began to shout even louder, "Crucify him!" And their shouts overpowered Pilate. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Lenten verse, page 231. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God.
Thank you.
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we'll be considering stanza 5 of our hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, in light of our Passion account today. Stanza 5 reads, But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. The scene opens with the crowd and the priests, attempting to get Pilate to do their dirty work, though Pilate wanted really nothing to do with this man, Jesus. When Pilate heard that Jesus was from Galilee, he was very quick to send Jesus over to that region's local ruler, Herod, a political enemy of his, for him to deal with. The readings indicate several things of interest. First, Herod was glad to see Jesus. Why would Herod be glad to see Jesus? Well, it wasn't because of love or faith in Jesus that Herod was so glad. Not even in the least. Jesus was to Herod a magician, an entertainer, a mere curiosity. For Herod had heard the stories concerning this great man. They mocked and derided Jesus when Jesus did not play the circus donkey. For the world sees Jesus either as a threat, like the crowds and the Jewish rulers did, or a vending machine for their own pleasure and entertainment, like Herod and his soldiers. In fact, Herod's interest towards Jesus is really nothing unique at all, as we can see in other denominations that treat Jesus as merely a vending machine for miracles, only to be placed back onto the shelf when the good gifts are received. And if we are honest with ourselves, who isn't guilty of that? And yet there's another point of interest, another telling occurrence that was mentioned in our readings today. Herod, who was Pilate's enemy, became friends over their unfaithful dealings with Jesus. Nothing unites sinners together like the Lord of life. Nothing unifies darkness more than the threat of light. And it is here that we see another example of the sinful world's leaders banding together against their common foe, the Lord Jesus. Now, Pilate has nothing particularly against this man, Jesus. But Pilate also had several riots in the recent past. He is painfully aware that he cannot afford another riot to break out under his watch. That would cost him his position and possibly his life. With his Roman superiors, who were so desperate to find a man who could deal with the rebellious and incorrigible Jews. Pilate, knowing full well this whole fiasco is centered around the religious leaders' jealousy over Jesus' success and power, tried to free Jesus in such a way where he could also avoid a politically devastating riot. And so he devised a plan to follow an ongoing custom in order to free Jesus, whom he truly saw as innocent. Pilate offers them a choice, really more of a moral dilemma. Pilate presents two men, and only one to be freed. One named Barabbas, meaning son of the Father, and Jesus. Now, putting aside for the moment the ironic name of Barabbas, a name more befitting Jesus than this sinner, Barabbas was a known insurrectionist who participated in those previous riots and was guilty of murder. There is an interesting point to be made here concerning the ironic name of Barabbas. And though it is most definitely ironic, it is also oddly fitting. This son of the Father was guilty of rebellion and murder. The first created son of the Father, Adam, was also guilty of those sins, along with his wife Eve. They both rebelled against God by listening to the temptations of the serpent and committed spiritual murder in the eating of the forbidden fruit. And so it is with us as well. And just as Jesus offered no complaint when Barabbas was freed instead of him, he offers no complaint in freeing us from our sins. He suffered in silence, so we, now sons of the Father through him, could be free. But let us return to this dramatic scene with the crowds and Pilate. The choice really was clear to the crowds, if they had any interest whatsoever in justice. Obviously, Jesus was the only correct option to free. But instead, we hear the screams of the mob, "Free Barabbas for us." Being consumed by their hatred of the divine love incarnate, they could only make one decision according to their overwhelmed and corrupted wills. Being egged on by the jealous Jewish leaders, the crowd bayed for the blood of the Ancient of Days. Pilate attempts one last time to ease the crowds, to spare himself from spilling innocent blood. He says, "Why? What wrong has he done? I have found nothing in him that deserves death." But the crowds, already achieving a fevered pitch, yelled all the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so Pilate, as we all know, eventually assents to the wish of the mob. And though he would wash his hands as a symbol, indicating that his hands are clean of this travesty against justice, no amount of mere water could ever wash away this blood. This whole time, Jesus was silent before the slaughter. In total silent acceptance, he was led uncomplainingly forth. He kept his peace, for he was content to die for the crowd, for the jealous Jewish leaders, for Pilate, and for us 2,000 years later. Whipped and scourged, mocked and beaten, such grief and agony Jesus endured. Yet the physical torments being laid upon him was nothing compared to the wrath of God being poured out upon him. He who carried in himself the sin of his persecutors, his executioners, and the rest of mankind for all time. In considering this fact, should we, when our times of distress and tribulation come upon us, groan in indignation before God, who endured all this silently, having no father to reprieve him of his own suffering? Though our whole lives might be pain, and every relationship a viper that strikes the heart, would it even amount to a single drop when juxtaposed to the pain and betrayal and abandonment our Lord Jesus felt? No amount of suffering on account of our Lord could ever equal what our Lord Jesus went through in perfect love for us. Nothing we can do to repay such love that costed so much to our dear Lord Jesus. And so, today's stanza is actually really fitting. "But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Page 231, we stand to sing the Magnificat.
"Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting of all my hands as evening sacrifice. My soul
friendship and placed it in a basket as you leave. We gather the offerings. You may be seated. Kyrie, page 233, we stand.
Holy Spirit, be with you all.